We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Didn't take long. First day of the tournament, major upset. Kentucky goes down to Oakland. The Golden Grizzlies, located in Rochester, Michigan, are now the ones who are sending John Calipari straight to the hot seat. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Did not have this one on my bingo card, going to be honest with you. Thought Kentucky was going to make a run. But you know what? It's just really a bit of a microcosm, Perloff, of where Kentucky is right now as a program. It has been disappointing over the last 3 years. A loss to St. Peter's, lost to Kansas State, now a loss to Oakland. I get it. I just don't think it's risen to the level of fireable offense for John Calipari. You will regret the day you fire him if you're Kentucky.
I think he was already on the hot seat. I don't think this loss puts him on the hot seat. And I think there are a lot of, I imagine there are a lot of fans who are ready to move on. Because the expectations are so high at Kentucky. They expect to be like, you know, like Duke was back, you know, they expect a Final Four every other year at best. And the funny thing about Calipari, his greatest strength, his ability to find talented players and convince them to come to Kentucky, has become a weakness because he's getting these lottery picks who just will not stay. It's amazing. I'm looking at the list of players he's had since his last title. You know, he's had Hall of Fame NBAers come through there. Devin Booker, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, De'Aaron Fox, Jamal Murray. I don't know if they all make the Hall of Fame, but the fact that these guys didn't win anything in college is now going to be held against Cal. And he goes on millions of interviews and says, look at all the great pros that come through my program. That's his number one claim to fame, and it's killing him.
Well, I think for many years, to the tune of 7 Elite Eights and 4 Final Fours and a championship, you could do both. You could recruit the best one and dones, and you could also, you know, do right by the university and do right by the students, the student athletes or whatever, and get them to the NBA and make them millionaires and more. But here's the thing. It has changed, but all it takes is a few tweaks and you're right back into this thing. Like the program isn't bottomed out. You know, they're not a disgrace. You know, they're still getting this high level talent, including Rob Dillingham, including Reed Shepard. And listen, is it a mistake maybe to bring some of those guys off the bench? Maybe they should be starting. All right. You want to quibble with some of Cal's X and O's. This is just, I don't see this as wildly off base. I see this as a couple ticks away and something where the fan base, I think, will, you know, it's a grass is always green, a blue grass is always greener kind of thing, where you're going to, you will regret firing Calipari. And the other part is, who are you getting to come in and replace him? Are you sure you're getting somebody who's going to be better than Cal? I know you don't want to make a decision out of fear, but you've got somebody who slam dunk recruiting classes coming in. It's like Nick Saban. These are slam dunk recruiting classes coming in. I wouldn't want to turn my back on them.
I don't want slam dunk recruiting classes. I want to win titles. I want to be Jay Wright at Villanova, who never got those kind of players.
Okay. There was a lot of times where Jay Wright couldn't get out of the first round, too. It wasn't, let's not look back and say Jay Wright had no issues in the tournament.
Jay Wright is a winning coach in the modern game, and John Calipari's format is from 20 years ago. The question is, can he change? What makes you think John Calipari is going to change? Does he give you any indication of that?
Well, he did say it last night. Let's play a little from John Calipari post game. How about cut five, please, Pete, where he's asked if he does need to change his philosophy on the roster.
So do I change because of that? Maybe add a couple older guys to supplement, but that's what these two did. And if Trey doesn't get hurt, you know, it's a little bit different.
Right. So obviously John Calipari there talking about Trey Mitchell. He did have Antonio Reeves, who's a fifth year senior. I just, you can't tell me that this is a bad philosophy. I get he's lost in the last 3 years. He's lost to two double-digit seeds. I understand the people in Kentucky are disappointed by that. But you're going to tell me that bringing this talent into the building is a bad thing? I can't believe it.
Yes, that's how it works now. I mean, it's a bad thing to have one and done because they're done and they're not going to win. How is an 18-year-old going to lead a team? Unless if Wembanyama had gone to college, maybe. But I just don't think that the freshmen can make that kind of impact anymore. The days of Carmelo and Anthony Davis seem to be long gone. I'm not exactly sure why those guys aren't in the system anymore, but you know it's not going to happen. Who's the next guy that
Caleb
he's going to...
Caleb Love a freshman? Was he a freshman in North Carolina?
Sophomore.
Okay, it's not like Chet Holmgren who's a freshman. You're not always going to win, but like this is... I think that Kentucky, you can't say you're going to win every year. That never happens in college basketball.
Well, Chet Holmgren, you're a Gonzaga fan, EJ. Did he make a real, true impact on that program? Not like Drew Timmy. I mean...
Oh, that's a good question. I feel like Chet made an impact in the sense that it makes other kids want to come to Gonzaga, but Timmy is the more iconic and more impactful Zag, question.
Did Holmgren win it? Was he on... I can't remember.
They went to the Sweet 16, and he was a big feat, and they lost because the referees fouled him out. That's a whole other conversation.
Well,
saying like freshmen have no impact now. I think that's not true.
But here's the thing, Maggie. Think about these teams that have won championships. And Perloff's right where sometimes you don't need a number one recruiting class, but they are still recruiting well.
Right.
Hurley recruits well. UConn won last year. Self recruits well. They won the year before. Scott Drew at Baylor. Those guys, they get McDonald Americans. They get good players. The problem is they team build, unlike Cal Perry, who just looks at a 247 sports top 10 list. So, okay, give me four of those guys with no plan of how to actually put them together. That's the problem. I'm not saying, hey, don't get good players. You need good players to win a championship. The problem is he just doesn't care about like a team aspect that can actually win you a championship. He just wants guys that are guaranteed guys that he can get to the NBA.
Okay, I think that this is not so different. We're talking about John Calipari. Kentucky loses last night to Oakland, and now we're figuring out what the future holds for Calipari, who's on the hot seat. Here's a question, though. I forgot which coach said this, but it was not John Calipari. Said yesterday, we used to be able to build a team for 4 years. I have to pack 4 years of team building into 365 days. It's the same type of thing. You can quibble with Calipari, but a lot of teams are doing this where they have only one season to really put a team together before guys either hit the portal again or they're out of eligibility or something like that. This is what I saw with FAU and San Diego State and the teams that made it to the Final Four last year. It's like you had a bunch of transfers that came together. You got to make it happen in a short amount of time. The sport is changing so rapidly that you're not telling me there's going to be more of an influx of talent coming back into college basketball because of NIL. And I want Calipari on my front lines for that. But I want him recruiting that good talent, and I think I'm going to be able to break through with it.
But Maggie, even when Calipari was more successful and it was more advantageous to him to have one and done teams, still one championship.
Yeah. I know. Final fours, though. I mean, it's not like it's been one championship and then a bunch of crap.
But by the way, EJ, who's these UConn McDonald? UConn doesn't have any pros.
UConn last year had
an impact NBA player out of UConn.
Six guys that were top 60 players.
Well, name an impact NBA player. Danny Hurley
It's not about NBA Pearl. About.
I'm just saying he does not have that problem. Is John Calipari has nothing but NBA players who are not going to stick around. UConn's not like that at all.
And I agree with you. My point, though, is that, like, this idea that, well, if you don't have John Calipari, you're going to get a guy who can't recruit. Newsflash. Danny Hurley, Scott Drew, Bruce Pearl, they recruit. Bruce Self, Bill Self, they recruit.
Right.
They're just not trying to get the number one and number two guys. They're bringing guys who are McDonald's American guys or guys who are right below that, and they're keeping them for a year or two. And guess what? Now you have a more complete team. John Calipari, he's not thinking that. He's just thinking, I need the guy who's the best right now so I can give him to the NBA so I can show other kids that I get guys to the NBA. And I'm sorry, I'm just not that impressed with that. You getting the number two or three guy of the year and saying, look, they made all this money in the NBA. No, duh, of course.
I think that you're underestimating that Cal couldn't make an adjustment here.
Well, he's had time. This is not coming out of nowhere.
Yeah, this is a four-year... I mean, NIL is 2021. We're in 2024.
I would just say, I think in basketball, it's particularly different because you're always thinking, if I have one great player, that's going to give me the massive advantage.
It's not college basketball anymore because that great player hasn't won in forever.
No, I understand, but I think you guys are underestimating, just like people would underestimate Dabo Swinney. Just because he hasn't gone along with the trend right now doesn't mean that they still can't win.
I don't think Dabo Swinney's going to win again at Clemson.
Well, I mean, but here's the thing. He did dip into the portal already, so who's to say he wouldn't do that again and wouldn't come along and try to change things even more? I'm telling you, you're going to – these other coaches, too, you're mentioning, if you want to say who's going to replace John Calipari, are you sure they're coming? Danny Hurley wins two titles at UConn. He's not leaving.
Well, they won't get Hurley, but they could get that.
Nate Oates just had signed an extension to Alabama.
You telling me if Kentucky calls Nate Oates, he's not jumping from – it's not Alabama football. It's Alabama basketball. You're aware of that.
Okay, and you follow Cal. Okay, you want to do that?
Yes, because it's Kentucky.
Kentucky's an extremely attractive job. When Cal took this job, it wasn't. Billy Gillespie did a poor job there, and to Cal's credit, he got them back to real national championship caliber relevancy. That job, nobody wanted before. This job, with all the resources, all the stuff, all the backing they have now, the support from the fan base, this is an awesome job. I think anybody is really up for the taking, potentially, if Cal was fired. I think this is a job that a lot of people want. They wouldn't care about following a legend at all.
I also think that you think that the Kentucky fan base wants their head coach bringing in transfers from D2 schools?
Oh, yeah.
They don't care. They want wins.
Why would Kentucky's got to be sick of the Devin Bookers and Shai Gilgeous-Alexanders coming and going so fast? I would imagine if I was a fan, I'd say, yes, give me the old guys.
Okay, maybe. I don't know, you guys. I think that you underestimate also that there is a flash that comes with Kentucky where you're expected to have a really great recruiting class. And the reason why you have the flash is because we would only be naming high-level coaches. They're not bringing in some up-and-coming guy who would eventually take over for Calipari. You got to go with big names. And I think the fan base does want to see that number one recruiting class. I think they want both. They don't want to lose recruits to Louisville or whoever they're going to lose them to. And, you know, Kansas or whoever they're competing against, Duke, they want to win the recruiting battles. And I think they obviously do want to win as well.
I think they would take Jack Golke 10 times out of 10 over Reed Sheppard right now. Maybe not Reed Sheppard, but Dillingham.
Or DJ Wagner or something.
Yeah, they have to start bringing in 20-somethings.
Listen, that's a big problem, and this is something I don't actually love, and I don't want to, you know, yuck the yums here of Oakland, and it's a good story, and it's very fun, and this is why we love the NCAA tournament. But we talked about the same thing with college football. It does feel at times a little bit ridiculous to have a 24-year-old playing against 19-year-olds. That also feels like taking advantage of a system where we're still getting through COVID years and all these post-grad years and how many – we have 100 years of eligibility now. So a 24-year-old playing against a 19-year-old, we all know this because we worked in sports long enough. 24 is actually your athletic peak, not 19. We always think the younger the better. That's not actually true. Think about guys in the NBA. You mentioned Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and other guys. You more peak around 25 than you do around 19.
But how does that affect your fandom or your enjoyment of the game? And Michael Penix is 23. I still liked watching him in the Final Four.
I'm just saying I get where Cal's coming from, that it does feel it feels a little old, guys. 24 years old in the college basketball tournament. This kid is great. Jack Golke, he's got male pattern baldness.
Yeah.
He looks like he should work here or something. No offense to all the guys who work here with the male pattern baldness. This is not a shot at you. You look at college, you're like, that guy's in college? As opposed to Reed Sheppard, who does look like he's in college.
He looks like
he's
in middle school.
You're supposed to be baby-faced.
I just think that you can't tell me that Oakland was cheating or at some sort of advantage here. They're Oakland going against Kentucky. I don't care if their players are 33 years old. This is Oakland against Kentucky.
But there is a reality that if you do have players who average 24 years old, you are going to have an advantage in some ways over Kentucky.
And Cal said that, but I mean that. They didn't have an average age of 24. Their best player last night was 24. Trey Townsend is 22, going to be 23. We're not talking about,
they're too old to get drafted in the NBA. That would be a knock against them.
Yeah, but I mean, to say their average age is 24, that suggests there are guys who are even older than that. I mean, their average is probably around 22, 21, which, yes, they're an older team than Kentucky. But look, guess what? There are other coaches. Bill Self doesn't have this problem, okay? Mark Few doesn't have this problem. There are other coaches who are elite coaches who don't get bounced in the first round to St. Peter's and Oakland. Why does it keep happening to this guy?
Well, it's like you make it seem like all the entire 15 years in Kentucky, it's been always one big loss to Lehigh. Like, that's not how this has gone. I know it's a what have you done for me lately. I get that. But let's not rewrite the history that there was no success there. 855-212-4CBS. Yes.
The main reason that these Oakland kids are not getting drafted is because no Oakland kid has ever gotten drafted. I'm trying to find. I can't find this.
Well, they just won their first NCAA tournament game yesterday.
But Kendrick Nunn went there.
Huh.
Undrafted. Yeah. That's the only guy I could find in the NBA.
Ah, foiled.
That's the reality of college basketball now. Parity because of this. You're absolutely right about the age difference. It's not fair necessarily, but that's how you're going to win games now. The days of Anthony Davis and one and done's winning titles seem so long gone. Cal's not going to adjust, Maggie. A guy like John Calipari's had too much success the other way. And I don't think Dabo Sweeney's really going to adjust.
855-212-4CBS. Got a Twitter poll up there for you at Maggie and Pearl. Should John Calipari be fired? Yes, yep. No?
Poll results, if you want them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's early, but yeah, let's do it.
Right now, 59% say Calipari should be fired. 41% say he should not.
Prisoner of the moment. Speaking of prisoners, we're all prisoners today to Andrew Perloff because we had a mini show bet where Perloff and whoever won the most, got the most games correct yesterday, if I can speak, got to be king for a day today. Perloff is the winner. So now you've been thinking up punishments / I don't know, tasks?
Yeah.
Like your personal assistant for the day?
Nothing entertaining to me more than bad singing. So that is going to be my main theme of the day. So everybody here at the Maggie and Perloff show has to sing one of our one-hit wonders. So we have a bracket of one-hit wonders that we're doing this month. And you know, we are playing the songs on the radio, but I don't think you've heard them sung karaoke style. And I think it's about time we entertain America with the dulcet tones of the Maggie and Perloff show.
This is going to be ugly.
It's going to be bad.
There's a reason why we don't sing a lot on this show. We also have the Shohei Ohtani scandal that is now unfolding. What did Ohtani know about his translator's gambling habits? When did he know it? Is it actually him with the gambling habit? And this is all just one big ruse to cover for a famous athlete. I mean, we could talk about this story till the end of time. There's so many different tentacles to the Ohtani story. It could go in any which direction. The latest news is that Ohtani's representatives are asking police to investigate this massive fraud. I mean, is there any way that backfires? Do you invite the police into this situation? You better have the truth.
Well, the police
from Ohtani.
The police have already. It all started because they're busting this illegal bookmaker. Yeah, that headline kind of confused me. I'm like, aren't the police already investigating it? They're the ones who told us Shohei was on the wire transfers.
Right. Well, they want them to invest this massive theft. How did these wire transfers get from Ohtani's personal account to the bookmaker?
Unbelievable. And the thing is, you know that Shohei and his group and MLB, they're not going to come out and say anything to clarify anything. I think that they're going to let it hang out there. Because Shohei's going to use the language barrier and not say anything. And then MLB, they're just not going to say anything because they don't know what to say. And you know how MLB is.
This is like going to be a lost in translation scandal.
Or, yeah.
How do you lose $4.5 million in translation?
Rob Manfred can't answer easy questions. How is he going to handle this?
I do not want to be him today. 855-212-4CBS. See your calls about Shohei Ohtani. We'll get to them in just a moment. Don't move. Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. I am devising some torturous song lyrics for you guys. You're going to have to sing one of our one-hit wonders from our one-hit wonder bracket. Man, this is so much fun because I picked a song that I know EJ hates more than anything in this bracket. I actually am going to help you out, Maggie.
Oh, well, thank you. By the way, you get to do this because you're king for a day.
King for a day because I won the first round of the tournament here. Yeah. Barely. I don't even know how that happened. But I've given you a song that is so bad that if you want to, you can read it as a poem in a fancy voice.
Baby Got Back.
Baby Got Back be good. But
reading of Baby Got
Back. It's probably, if you look at our one-hit wonder, we talked about what's the worst song in there / best song?
Mambo Number 5.
That's the second or third.
Who let the dogs out?
Who let the dogs out?
I'm not going to do a dramatic reading of
reading of Who Let the Dogs Out later in the show.
No, I hate that song.
The only lyric that you know is Who Let the Dogs Out. The other lyrics are insane.
Is this like it's going to get me canceled? Like, is it some weird innuendo?
No. It's actually okay. It's not in politically correct at all. It's just so random. Does anyone know the other words to Who Let the Dogs Out? They're about to learn them.
No, and I don't want to know, and I've never wanted to know.
Don't worry. They're not that embarrassed. They're not like Baby Got Back.
I'd rather do Baby Got Back.
Too bad.
Oh, man.
I'm king for a day. You're doing Who Let the Dogs Out.
Oh, shoot. Let's go to the phones. 855-212-4CBS. You guys want to weigh in on the Shohei Ohtani scandal? We get back to John Calipari in Kentucky losing last night. They were a 3 seed losing to a 14 seed. We get to Cal's future in a moment. But, Rich, good morning, sir. How are you?
I am well. Do you think Pete Rose might be getting a little chuckle out of this whole thing?
Oh, yeah.
Well, my God, karma is a difficult and demanding mistress.
You know, but here's the thing, Rich, about Pete Rose. Pete broke the rules. Why he would think that he couldn't get let back into the sport, he's just being stubborn and obstinate. He broke the rules. He knew what they were.
Wait, we're doing Pete Rose?
No, I don't want to do Pete Rose, but I'm just saying, it's not like karma. Karma what? Pete Rose broke the rules.
Yeah, but baseball's going to ignore Shohei because they have a lot of money to make off Shohei. So Pete Rose, and there's no reason for them to bring Pete Rose back now. I do think it's going to be a hypocrisy situation for sure.
Well, the other thing, too, about Pete Rose, and Rich, thank you so much for the phone call. Good to hear from you. Nobody has benefited more from Pete Rose's suspension than Pete Rose.
Oh, yeah.
You think that people are lining up still to pay to get his autograph after all these years without the scandal? Maybe, but they're not. Not in the way they are now. Infamy for him looks way better than fame.
That being said, we're not doing Pete Rose debate. That's kind of the oldest sports talk radio debate.
Not doing it.
I mean, he's getting pretty old now. Would have really killed to just put that dude in the Hall of Fame. Just get it. I mean, honestly, at this point, is anyone still mad at Pete Rose?
I'm not a fan. Let's go to Kevin, who's in Oregon. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Good. I was going to ask if Ohtani's interpreter was getting his betting advice from Phil Mickelson, but when you were talking about these players that were leaving early from college basketball, do they still have college eligibility once they leave to become professionals? Because if they do, there are a lot of guys that end up in the G League or D League or whatever it's called. They could make way more money if they went back to college and took the NIL money.
Yeah, but
Kevin, once you declare, that's it, you're eligible. Once you declare for the draft or once you go pro, you can't double back.
Right. But Kentucky players actually go to the NBA, though. They're not G Leaguers. They're real NBA players.
That's too bad. LeBron would be better off going to play at USC. He'd be more likely to play with his son than his son going to play.
Kevin, you set us up for the LeBron-Bronny joke. It's gonna be tough here for Bronny. Unfortunately, we don't get to see him in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just happy Bronny's playing after all his health stuff.
That's true.
But it's funny. Is there a guy... Remember we talked yesterday, we did our Maggie and Perloff multiverse. What if LeBron had gone to Duke? Is there going to be a guy like LeBron who comes into college basketball who you really think can win a title? I don't even remember the last time that happened. There's no Shaq coming into college basketball. There's nothing like that anymore. I don't know why. A singular player who is so good as a freshman, he's going to go all the way. I mean, EJ, you follow recruiting. It doesn't seem possible that that guy exists anymore. Wemby is not going to college.
Well, I mean, we talked about this before with Kentucky losing yesterday that, you know, the developmental side of basketball is also not what it was. So are you coming into college? I'm not going to say more raw, but it's more about playing games now than it is developing. That's what the AAU, you know, juggernaut, that's what the machine is all about. It's about tournaments, parents having to pay for tournaments, and it's not about development as much.
And one big thing, too, big men cannot dominate the sport like many generations ago because of the three-point line. I mean, you saw, you can have, Kentucky's front line was so much taller, so much better than Oakland, but you can have a guy get hot from three, and that doesn't matter at all.
Yeah, the guy broke the record. Yeah. I mean, he hit 10 threes yesterday off the bench. Jack Golke hit 10 threes. Right. He's only attempted 8 twos in the entire season.
Right. It used to be, back in the day, the Blue Bloods had gigantic players that you would dominate the game. Do you see that at all? Nobody really... I know Zach Edey is a number one seed, but everyone knows at the end of the day, if his three-point shooters are off, Zach Edey's not going anywhere.
Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, the three-point line and three-point shot has changed this completely.
Yes.
And also, no lead is ever safe. You know, we saw this with Dayton in Nevada yesterday, right?
Oh,
that game seemed like it was in the bag, and all of a sudden, Dayton goes on a 24-4 run to close it out. Another L for your girl. But
me too.
Again, this is part of it. Let's go to the phones. Whenever I see this man's name on the call screener, I get excited. It's our pal Big Friendly in California. Wants to weigh in on the Shohei Ohtani situation. Big Friendly, how are you on this Friday?
I'm getting better, but, you know, glad to hear see you guys. I just finally found your stream.
Hey.
So you and Proloff, I need to send you guys breakfast. You guys need a breakfast burrito with cheese.
Wait a minute. Oh, are we looking slim?
You guys are looking slim. I'm a big guy, 6'5", 360. So I see you Whoa. Guys and I see, yeah, you guys need to eat.
But... no camera, one's ever said that to us before.
The cameras are very slimming here. We have a filter on them that makes me look skinny. I'm super buff.
Are we better looking, though, than people might think?
Don't ask that question. Maggie's better looking. Don't. Big Friendly, watch yourself.
I meant as a whole show. I think that we are a good-looking show. Compared to other shows, I think we're a good-looking show. You know,
very good-looking cast of ensembles. Real quick, before I get into my coughing span so I can get off the air.
Yeah.
With the Shohei Ohtani thing, my question to you guys is, with today, with all the betting apps, whenever you watch baseball, basketball, football, hockey, every other commercial is a betting app.
Yep.
So with professional sports tied in to the betting apps, Vegas and Reno and Atlantic City, do you think they're going to come down that hard on Ohtani when now they're in bed with the betting stuff?
Yeah. No, it's a great question, Friendly, and feel better, and thank you. No need to send us any breakfast. We've got that covered over here. We'll get some carbs.
I think what Big Friendly brings up is the biggest question in sports. The influence of gambling on sports is getting very scary. The potential Temple scandal in college basketball, you know, that's still looming. The investigation is just starting into that. I think this is just the beginning of betting scandals. This would be the biggest by far. I mean, if Shohei was actually linked to betting, that would just rock the entire... This is way bigger than Calvin Ridley getting suspended for a year. This is the face of your sport.
No, I get it, but let's think about it. You know, this is a unique scandal in that sports betting is still illegal in California. The two big states out there, California and Texas, it's still illegal. So this feels a little more old-fashioned, actually.
Well, this is unique, too, because you have the whole thing. He's an interpreter for a show. You know,
right.
This relationship, it's not just a buddy. This is way more complicated.
Yeah, I mean, this is somebody who Shohei relies on for his day-to-day success in his sport, sometimes minute to minute. I mean, the interpreter's coming to the mound, like, to interpret for coaches who are trying to give Ohtani any kind of direction, coming to him when he's at the plate if they make a pitching change to try to see what kind of pitcher are you facing and get some last-minute scouting report stuff. I mean, this guy is very influential in Ohtani's life.
I saw a quote where he said that I've never falsified an interpretation. The fact that he had to say that says that it's out on the table. Ooh, was he lying to Shohei about what people were saying?
Can we talk about that for just a second? We'll get back to just like the how big this is in sports and baseball and so many implications. I always thought about that. Could the interpreter be like, how close to the interpretation are we? Because we watch a lot of baseball around here in New York, and a lot of guys speak Spanish. The interpreter can't go out of line here because so much of the audience also speaks Spanish.
You get
called out in a second if you change the
meaning.
But how many people relatively in your population are speaking Japanese and also would be able to call that out? Like if he was, in fact, changing some of the context.
Yeah, there's this new show out, by the way, Shogun, that everyone's talking about. It's on Hulu and FX. So the big issue is the interpreter. It's set in Japan.
Yeah.
Is the interpreter lying for political advantage?
It's a storyline?
Yeah, this is from 1600s Japan.
Oh,
and
wow.
There's every interpreter is up for grabs because they didn't know English. It was actually Portuguese.
Yeah.
Anyway, when I was on grand jury duty, remember I talked about that nonstop for months? There were a lot of interpreters, but they were often interpreting Spanish.
Mm.
There were actually Mandarin interpreters, but the Spanish interpreters, half the jury spoke Spanish. So they would be correcting the interpreter in real time all the time.
What?
They're like, that's not exactly what that means.
Imagine you're on trial for
it's
potential
a huge
facing
issue.
Jail time.
Yeah. We had a Mandarin. We had all sorts of languages come in. This is a huge issue. You're exactly right. Then this is in this story, I think that's going to play a large part. Imagine if it goes to court.
This is so tangled. Also, interpreter, another job I'd be terrible at. Like, I'm sorry, what did you say?
You just make up what the person said.
Again. He said one game at a time. We got to take it one game at a time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Does the interpreter just throw out the platitudes that an athlete does?
Yeah, Carissa Thompson is actually the interpreter.
Does he even tell Shohei what the stupid question from the announcer is? He's like, yeah, Shohei just wants to pitch. Yeah, he just wants to be efficient at the plate or something. He just makes up crap.
Also, do you notice this a little bit with Spanish? I have a lot of people in my family who speak Spanish. My brother lives in Mexico. He's married to an Argentinian woman, so they're speaking only Spanish in their house. And sometimes my brother will translate between different family members, and my sister-in-law will say a lot of things. But then I'm like, what'd she say? And he's like, she said cool. I'm like, no, she definitely said more words than just cool. Like, give me the whole thing. He's like, no, she basically said cool. I feel like that happens a lot with post-game interpretations, yeah. too. It's like the guy's talking, like, well, he said, you know, we got to play harder.
Yeah.
He definitely said more than
well,
that.
Well, that can go a lot of ways, and it's great that you had that relationship with your brother and his sister-in-law, but I've had friends who had families who are from foreign countries, and they speak different languages, and, you know, the boyfriend or girlfriend would be very paranoid that there's something being said badly about them, and the other's like, oh, no, they just said it's fine.
Yeah, no, you got to pick up on the international language of body language,
yes,
and context
exactly.
clues. We get along very well.
Relationships blow up because of this kind of thing.
Peter Schwartz is here with headlines. Good morning.
Were you guys big Seinfeld fans?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Do you remember the episode where Elaine thinks that the girls in the nail place are making fun of her?
They're speaking in Korean.
And she brings in Frank Costanza, who was based, I guess, in the Army.
Yeah.
One of the services was there. And he explodes on them because he can understand exactly what they're saying.
Yeah, so, it turns out he had an affair with the woman who's sitting in the back room. Great show.
He put the move on her.
Stop short.
We begin with the NCAA tournament, and we'll start in the Midwest region.
Backing in is James around the arc, top of the circle. Here's Gainey through James, connect, right corner three. It's a jackpot for Dalton Connect, and a 20-point lead for Tennessee, which wants no part of what happened to Kentucky earlier.
Jason Benetti on the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network, number 2 Tennessee over number 15 St. Peter's, 83-49, Dalton Connect with 23 points. So, what happened to Kentucky earlier?
This is it as Kentucky inbounds. They get it in. The throw to the front. Reeves, three-point jumper. No good. Golkey down with the rebound. Maybe now they know where Oakland is. There are the history books. An 80-76 upset victory over Kentucky.
That was Scott Graham on the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. A stunner in the South, Jack Golkey led Oakland with 32 points, including 10 threes. In the East region, number 11, Duquesne knocking off number 6, BYU, 71-67. Duke's head coach Keith Dambrot said defense was the key to victory.
I think the score pretty much says exactly why we won. You know, that's a very high-scoring team, and we knew that we had to play into the 60s, low 60s, mid-60s. And not much higher than it was for us to win. That's just not the way we win.
And they come away with the big win there last night. Some other scores from last night that were late. Washington State over Drake, 66-61. You had Iowa State over South Dakota State, 82-65. Number 4, Kansas survives. Number 13, Samford, 93-89. Tennessee over St. Peter's, 83-49. Gonzaga topping McNeese, 86-65. Now to the NBA, and we'll start in Phoenix.
Cross court, it goes to Allen. Now in between the rings, Beal penetrating, 6 on the shot clock. Feeds Booker all alone for 3. He cans it in the left corner. Devin Booker has made 5 threes on the night on 7 tries, and he leads the Suns with 27 points. They lead by 12 with under a minute to go.
John Bloom on Suns Radio. The Suns over the Hawks, 128-115. Devin Booker with 30 points. How about a little more from the first string update anchor here on the show?
Smith Jr., Damian Lillard continue their battle. Lillard a pass for Portis. Spins away from a double. Back for Lillard. Now it's Giannis, top of the arc, a 3. And it's down. Nets let him shoot it.
Yeah, got you.
And Giannis hits it to tie the game at 90.
That sounds like bogus.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, I thought that was Cap's AI.
Yeah, it could have been.
Andrew,
this is the tough thing about that game. You're doing Nets radio, but obviously the Bucks are going to be the team. So you got to give the Bucks the proper enthusiasm, and I thought he did that.
Yeah, I went on the Odyssey app and listened to a big chunk of it last night. He's great. Yeah. Really, really yes, solid.
Does a great job.
Capstra, his color guy, is really good, too.
Tim Capstra's awesome. The capper, yeah. Well, so sneaky funny.
And he's been at it for a long time. He has been fantastic. And he does a great job on TV. He does a lot of college basketball on television. So, yeah, he's outstanding. That's, by the way, they lose to the Bucks 115-108.
Well, I told you guys a story about when Mike Breen was an assistant coach on my youth basketball team. You know who the head coach was? Tim Capstra.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
The bloodline he comes from.
So when you hit a shot, did Breen give you the
no bang? No bangs.
Not the double bang?
No bangs. But what I didn't know, what I will take from Mike Breen that was so cool was just like he says in games, like, you know, you're taking a lot of jump shots. I like to see him go into the paint. He said that about me once in a huddle, and I was like, wow. I heard him say that about Allen Iverson last night.
Wait, why was Mike Breen coaching your team?
His son was on my team.
Oh, okay.
Mike Jr. And he was the assistant coach.
I mean, the fact that he couldn't give you guys a bang, though.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't win many games, so that, you know, would have. You need to win or make clutch shots in order to get a bang call.
But isn't Breen the nicest guy in the industry? I've heard that before.
Yes.
Was a saint.
Well, yes.
He's also got it maybe muttering under his breath, like as you guys are maybe getting blown out. It's like largest lead of the game.
Yeah, well, I think I heard a way off when
you know,
got one of those, so that wasn't always good.
That's funny. For as good as the bang feels, the way off has got to be the worst feeling in the world.
It's funny. My dad always tells the funniest story because, like, you know, we're in our first practice. None of us know Mike Breen is going to be the assistant coach of this team. And, you know, he's introduced himself to his parents. He goes to my dad. He's like, hey, I'm Mike. My dad's like, yeah, I know who you are.
What if you had, like, Gus Johnson's kid on the team? And Gus would, first of all, you know the game would go to overtime.
Why
would it
be Maserati EJ?
Yeah. You would have gotten a nickname. Or Harlan. Harlan would be a good sports dad. Just, oh, wow. You could hear him all the way from the parking lot.
He's like, the water boy. He's all over the court. I can't do
it. I don't think you do it right between the eyes with the kids playing. But.
I know. Gus Johnson. Well, somehow he'd be rooting for Dion, which is weird because it's a high school basketball game, but he'd find a way to get it in.
I would watch a high school basketball game. I'd watch a youth basketball. If Gus Johnson was calling it youth basketball, that'd probably be super entertaining.
People say that fans don't tune in for announcers. That's wrong about Gus Johnson. I'll sit there and watch a game, even if it's a blowout. This would happen sometimes with the Knicks when Gus was doing their games. Like, I'll still listen.
I disagree. It's more like you're watching games and a lot of blowouts. Then there happens to be, everyone's like, this game is close. And then Gus is always on that game.
I know.
It's just like, there's a crazy game going on. Oh, Gus is on it. I don't know how he finds these games.
They
but
sound
he does.
Crazy. It's like, they're up 2 scores and Gus is giving me game 7.
That might be it. It might be because Gus makes him seem special, but he does seem to get a lot of heartbreakers.
Baseball, the Mets and DH J.D. Martinez reportedly agree on a 1-year, $12 million deal pending a physical. And the NFL is not considering banning the tush push ahead of next season, also referred to as the brotherly shove. The play worked at a 90% success rate in short yardage situations for the Eagles last season. So the tush push stays.
Listen, for every other team, the other 31 besides the Eagles, if you don't have this down to a 90% clip next year, I think fans have a right to, like, pie in the face your coach or something. We all get to just throw a pie in the face for the coach. How dare you not have this play? It doesn't even have to be with your starting quarterback. It could be with your backup quarterback. It could be with a tight end. Whoever you think can execute this play, you have to have this in your playbook now.
I seem to remember, though, Josh Allen. When Josh Allen did it, it was a bit of an adventure. They had the wrong guy pushing him.
Well, he fumbles all the time. Yeah. Not him. Not Josh Allen.
Like, he was also, like, jumping when they were doing the tush push. I don't want to talk about this with the Bills.
Find someone else. Mr. Trubisky, whoever the hell's out there. You got to get a tush push in your playbook.
By the way, or just do a quarterback sneak. 4th and 1, they go in shotgun and hand it for a -2. Quarterback sneak was also working, by the way. It's not like tush push is revolutionizing the game. They did start to call some penalties on it toward the end. Makes me nervous. The NFL's like, that's okay, but they could all of a sudden, you know, start calling offsides all the time. They might get rid of it a little bit in that way.
I know Jason Kelce bleeds Eagles, though. I don't know. He seems to be rooting a lot by the Chiefs. But I kind of want to see what happens when he's not there. And I wonder if he'll take a little pride if the Eagles' tush push isn't quite as successful this year.
It's a quarterback sneak. How hard is it to do? Maggie's right.
I mean, we say that, but Kelce's supposed to be a Hall of Fame center, and no one else does it well.
That can't get 3rd and inches, 4th and inches. They get pushed back.
Because they're idiots, and they're not doing the tush push.
I know. That's why it should be mandatory in every playbook. It's like whatever your fake punt. You got to have it. Just have it in the playbook. way more successful. Peter, thank you so
much.
Welcome. Appreciate that. Lots more to do. See you guys on the phones. You want to talk about Shohei Ohtani? We want to talk about Shohei Ohtani. You want to talk about John Calipari? We want to talk about John Calipari. We also have King for a day.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Perloff won. He picked the most correct games yesterday, so he gets to be king for a day today. We'll pay off one of those.
Next, I'm king for a day. Next segment, we're going to pay off. Somebody's going to sing a one-hit wonder.
Oh, God. Don't move.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Ah, it's good to be the king. Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. We had a bet yesterday. Whoever got the most games right on opening day of the NCAA tournament gets to be king for a day and make his coworkers do whatever they want. Somehow I won because my bracket's actually not that good. It was very, very close. We all were on the same page. A lot of people had Kentucky going far. I had him Elite Eight. I think, Maggie, you had him Final Four. That's fine.
EJ had him in the final game and is now telling me that I should have seen this coming the whole time.
Yeah.
You just say, Kentucky's on a downslide. Picked him to go to the championship game.
It's kind of a weak bracket. So I don't think, I mean, Houston is the number one seed there. We'll see who comes out. So I get to assign songs from our one-hit wonder bracket, which we're doing this March. And let's start with Pete Bellotti. And I looked at our whole bracket.
Okay.
And there's one song that stood out that said Pete Bellotti to me. And that, of course, is I'm Too Sexy.
That's right.
So Pete, you can do it any way. You can do it any way you want, but you have to give us a little, give America a little Right Said Fred.
Okay, here it is. The one and only Right Said Fred. I'm too sexy for my love. Too sexy for my love. Love's gonna leave me. I'm too sexy for my shirt. Too sexy for my shirt. So sexy. Yeah, it hurts. I'm too sexy for Milan. Too sexy for Milan, New York, and Japan. I'm too sexy for your party. Too sexy for your party. No way I'm disco dancing. I'm a model. You know what I mean. I do my little turn on the catwalk. Yeah, on the catwalk. On the catwalk, yeah. I do my little turn on the catwalk.
Yay!
Wow.
Wow. And you did it a cappella. No instrumental underneath. Way to go, Pete.
A little disappointed you're still wearing your shirt. I thought maybe we'd get it.
I'm not. No way.
Theater of the mind. He's naked right now.
Good job. I got to tell you, that might be the least embarrassing song that will be sung this show.
All right.
Maggie, yours is a doozy.
That's coming up next hour. Let's go back to the phones. Perloff is king for a day, so he gets to make us do whatever he wants, and apparently we're singing. Michael's in Henderson, Nevada, wants to talk about Shohei Ohtani. Hey, Michael, how are you?
Hi, Maggie.
Hey, Michael, how's it going?
I give that a 3 out of 10, the last Pete song.
Snaps for Pete.
Anyways, my take is, what if the lawyers for Ohtani panic and say, let's say he stole the money, and they went to Ohtani and say, hey, he's going to jail anyways. Let's say he stole the money, and now later on in the findings, they're going to find out that Ohtani gave him the money. Yeah.
Michael, you're setting up a crux here. You're right. You're nailing it right on the money, right? Which is
so much trouble.
Oh yeah. Well, he's already linked to a bookmaker. You know, if you just followed the paper trail, allegedly you got money coming out of Ohtani's personal account going to an illegal bookmaker. So that's not great.
One more thing is, who's more likely to get a $4 million
gambling debt?
A guy who Ohtani, makes $200,000 a year or Ohtani? Yep.
Yeah. Anyways.
Michael, not good.
Great points. Good to hear from you. So, yes, there's a couple things there. One,
Talk home, Mike.
Here's the thing, right? Would a bookmaker, even if you work for Ohtani and they know you're the translator for Ohtani, would a bookmaker actually let you rack up $4.5 million in debt if on paper you make $300,000 a year? That's generally a no.
Well, except, yeah, illegal bookmakers, of course, can use credit where the DraftKings and FanDuel's of the world cannot.
No, I get it, but $4 million in credit, that's a lot to float to somebody who's got $300,000 on their W-2.
But if you know that person is the interpreter for a multimillionaire, then you're trying to hook into that guy's money.
Oh, I get it, but he could work for Ohtani. He doesn't know that Ohtani's going to bail him out, but maybe he's making, the bookmaker's making a calculated risk.
Yeah, maybe that's what happened. Right. I mean, that's the thing, there's so many maybes here.
The other part, too, about the lawyers changing the story, that feels like what's happening. I mean, what happened now, it looks like the story they were originally kind of trying to paint was Ohtani was being a good friend by bailing out the translator who had a gambling habit. And then the story changed. Ohtani had no idea about the gambling habit. And in fact, he's a victim of theft.
Our buddy Kevin Clark tweeted, one of these two men is a very, very good friend. It's either the interpreter or Shohei is the best friend ever.
You need friends like this. The Fall Guy. Oh, boy. Okay, lots more to do. Perloff is king for a day. We've got more news on Ohtani. We've got more on John Calipari and Kentucky's loss last night. Don't move.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.